you could please pray the words, "Come, Holy Spirit," with me three times. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, as you walked through locked doors and said the words, "Shalom, peace be with you," to your apostles, and then you breathe the Holy Spirit upon them, I pray for that same breath of your Holy Spirit to fall upon each of us, in particular upon Julie, Jarrett, Will, Micah, and Michael, as they prepare to become members of your mystical body today. Pray for their families, pray for all who are here, especially those who feel lost, those who are locked off, and those who are in need of hope this day. And I make all these prayers in Jesus' name, amen. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you because this is one of my favorite feast days in the Catholic Church. If you want to guess, the image to your or to my right and to your left here, this is mine. I like big things. I love Divine Mercy Sunday. This is one of my, again, favorite feast days because it brings so much of what we believe to light, and it helps us come to know the truth of who Jesus is and what difference he makes in our lives. But in particular, it's a very Catholic image. So for those who are becoming Catholic, especially for Jarrett, for Will, Micah, Michael, and for Julie, this is going to be really important for them because this is the day they're getting confirmed or they're getting baptized in the church. And it's just, this image says so much about what we believe. And it's an image that's actually fairly new in the life of the church. So in the 1930s, there was a woman, her name is St. Faustina Kowalska from Poland. And as she was a religious sister, just a very small, petite woman, 5'3", strawberry blonde hair, nothing special about her. And she had these locutions while she was in prayer, this very deep encounter with Jesus. And she was told to write a diary while she was there. And this is the diary. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight. I will spare you from reading the whole thing. It's only, let me see here. Yeah, about 700 pages long, so no big deal. But as she had these locutions and these encounters with Jesus, she was encouraged to have this image printed. Because people forgot that the day that we are celebrating today is so important for every single person, not just Catholics, not just atheists, not just Buddhists, but for everyone to know who Jesus is and what he offers them. Now, mind you, this is the 1930s. This is like right after, you know, World War I, right after the Great Depression, and right before World War II. And she was asked by Jesus to have this image printed, but it was a hard battle for her to help people know who Jesus was because Satan didn't want this image getting out. He wanted, like the apostles, Aaron, the disciples are even locked up in fear in the upper room. He didn't want people to know this shalom peace, this heavenly peace, not like peace be with you at Mass, but like heavenly peace this, that Jesus said. And he shows them his hands and his side. And this is the image of when he walked in the room that she was asked by Jesus to have painted. When you look at the image, Jesus is coming through darkness. He's coming through the darkness of the world, the darkness of death, the darkness of sin, you name it. And he's coming through that. But again, we have to know that this is his desire first, to encounter you in your darkness and your sin. So his left foot is coming forward because, again, he wants to come set you free. He wants to, first of all, say to you, no matter where you're at in life, peace be with you. Shalom. And his left hand, I got to look at it here. Yep, okay. Right hand's blessing hand. His left hand is pointing at his heart, right? Which is showing where his love comes from. And it's a point to us about his blood and water, which we heard about in the second reading today. Talking about blood and water, and that signifies the sacraments of, first of all, the Holy Eucharist in the red, right? And then in the white is baptism and confession. To help us know that his heart is full of mercy. And he wants to remind us that he's here to bless us. His hand is raised to bless you because he knows that some of you are bound up in sin. You're bound up in lies. You're bound up in whatever is not the truth. And he's come to set captives free. And how he does that is what he said to us in the gospel today, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So Jesus was able to forgive sins in the gospel. He rises from the dead, and here we have a resurrection account. And it says, and when he had said this word, like, as the Father sends me, so I send you, he breathes the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the first bishops of the church. And he gives them the authority to forgive sins. It says, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and those whose sins you retain are retained. So there's a sacrament of confession. John chapter 20 seems so clear to us. But there are those of you who are here right now, and maybe it's those who are visiting. I don't know. Maybe some of our students. But like, you're like Thomas. And this is also known as Doubting Thomas Sunday. Thomas annoys me. Because what he does is he tries to dictate to Jesus how life should go. There are people who do this. And he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I put my finger into the nail marks, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You ever met people like that? Like, everything has to be a certain way in order for Jesus to be real. Unless he, you know, magically appears in the sky, I will not believe. But it says a week later, which is where we are today, on the eighth day, the disciples are getting inside, but this time Thomas is with them. The thing is, Jesus, one thing for us to know is that he loves doubters. He loves doubters. Doors are locked. They're afraid again. Nothing new. We have nothing in common with the apostles, right? But Jesus comes in their midst, and this is the third time he says, Shalom, peace be with you. But what he came for was just the doubter. He puts his hand out and he says, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe. And he has this moment, Thomas has this moment of, my Lord and my God. This means he has this knowing, this encounter with Jesus of knowing who he truly is. Again, because he wants to bless you. He wants to come into your darkness. And he comes into the darkness of Thomas's doubt. But where did doubt ever come from? We read the creation accounts. It comes from Satan. Now, God has always wanted to be in a relationship with us. Always. From the beginning of time. Always, always, always. But remember those words of the snake in the garden, which is a symbol of Satan? Did God really say? Instilling doubt. It means that you and I are at war. From the first sin, we have to come to know that we are at war. And I just want to ask you tonight, do you want to go to heaven? If your answer is yes, I say praise God. The second question I ask you is, do you want others to get to heaven? If your answer is yes, I would say praise God. Third question would be, do you not want people to go to hell? Hopefully your answer is, yeah, I don't. And I would say, get ready for war. Because you're going to come out and say that Jesus is the king of the universe. He is risen, because St. Paul says, unless Christ is risen, our faith is in vain. If we're going to say that this is the truth, there's going to be people who want to pull you down. And this is a battle. And St. Faustina was always encountering these sufferings, but she was a warrior for Christ. I just want to read a little bit of what she says about spiritual warfare. I'm just so fascinated with her. Just by the way, for the whole month of April, we're just going to focus on spiritual warfare because people seem to be struggling so much. But this is what she says about spiritual warfare in paragraph 1760. This is Jesus speaking to her. Maybe just imagine yourself sitting next to Faustina and Jesus just talking to her. And he says, my daughter, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare. Never trust in yourself, but abandon yourself totally to my will. In desolation, darkness, and various doubts, have recourse to me and to your spirit director or confessor. It says, he will always answer you in my name. It says, do not bargain with temptation, But he says in the opposite, he says, lock yourself in my heart. And at the first opportunity, reveal the temptation to your confessor. Pour your self-love in the last place so that it does not taint your deeds. Bear with yourself with great patience and do not neglect interior mortifications. Always justify to yourself the opinions of your superiors and your confessor. Shun the murmurers like a plague. I love that. Shun the murmurers like a plague. Let all act as they like. You are to act as I want you. So he's telling her there is going to be a battle. And wouldn't it be weird if we were going to bring 5 new people into the church tonight and I didn't tell them we're going to war? This is a battle, and we are in one of the most saturated with sin areas in Oshkosh, which is UW-Oshkosh. If you think UW-Oshkosh is holy, maybe besides where the Newman Center is, like, I don't know what planet you're living on. It's a tough campus. And we need you 5 to help us save this campus from this darkness that they don't know that Jesus wants to walk into. They don't know. And maybe you were there once, and maybe a Focus missionary, one of our students, walked up to you and encountered you and began to love you and just get to know you, but to know that you're worth fighting for. So many people in our world don't believe they're worth fighting for. And St. Faustina, when she hears about this fight she's being called to, Jesus says, always fight with the deep conviction that I'm with you. Like, the Lord is always with us. It's often that we just don't listen to him. He says, do not be guided by feeling, which our culture is definitely guilty of that. He says, because it is not always under your control. One place the devil loves to play with is your feelings. Well, I didn't feel anything, so God wasn't there. But he says, but all merit lies in the will. He says, know that you are on a great stage. People are watching. Where all heaven and all earth are watching you. Like, we have a communion of saints. We have a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. And he says, fight like a knight so that I can reward you, and do not be unduly fearful because you are not alone. And that's one of the things the evil one has done for us. He thinks, I'm the only one who struggles with this, or I'm the only one who struggles with that. But again, Thomas was the only one who wasn't there. He was struggling with doubt, but the Lord met him in his sin. The Lord met him in his doubt, and he pulled him out of his doubt. And what's going to happen tonight is for you, Michael, you're going to be baptized. The water of the holy of baptism and the words that I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit will be the same Holy Spirit that fell upon Jesus when he was baptized. And there will be a new infilling in you. But then we also need armor. We need armor to fight against all the temptation of the evil one, which we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we're preparing for our last time we met for RCA, we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit so we can fight this fight of faith. But the other thing is, we have to know is that, again, none of us can do this alone. We live in a world that's so consumed with, I got to do me, myself, and I, or kind of like Thomas. It's got to be how I want things to be. But the Lord, he works through people. We heard in our first reading how they held everything in common together. Everything in common together. And it is the community's invitation tonight to pray for these 5 and ask the Lord to just pour his Holy Spirit upon them, to pour the gifts of the Holy Spirit upon them. And then as they come forward, receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, which is shown here in the image, so that they receive him, like they have an encounter with him, and they have the courage to enter into the fight. To enter into this fight for the salvation of souls, for people. I just want to end with a story about St. Faustina. Again, Jesus said to lock yourself in his heart, right? So lock yourself in her heart. So she would go to pray, and she would pray for the salvation of souls. And one time when she was praying so fervently and so just energetically and just praying for God's mercy to envelop the whole world, that when she left her hour of prayer, she said, a pack of dogs chased me out of the chapel. the dogs, she would find out later, were demons. And they were talking about her. And they were saying that you stole so many souls from us in that hour. And they were tormenting her. But she, what she did was something that was different. When she suffered, she thanked God. She thanked God. Why would she do that? Because she would rather suffer and gain souls than be comfortable and lose souls. She would rather suffer to gain souls rather than be comfortable and lose souls. So there's this disposition of locking herself in the heart of Jesus, which went under the most brutal crucifixion. But now he comes with resurrected wounds. He comes with resurrected wounds to help us and bless us and set us free. The first thing he wants to say to us, everyone here tonight, by name, is shalom. Peace be with you. And he wants to speak to you as if you're the only person here. Notice how he doesn't say, what the heck were you doing over there? What the heck were you doing that night? No, it's first of all, he wants to say peace be with you because he knows a lot of you are afraid, as the apostles were, who spent 3 years with him, right? And what we need to not be afraid is the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit so badly because St. Faustina was told, don't rely upon yourself. Rely upon my divine will, my plan, which includes for sure the Holy Spirit. So we just take a moment of silence and we pray for you, Lord Jesus, to send forth your Holy Spirit upon us, and especially upon Julie, upon Micah, Michael, Will, and Jarrett. As they prepare for this day, may we all know of your love for us, but specifically for these five. And may you equip them, Lord Jesus, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit so they may fight the good fight of faith and know that we are 100% behind them. Please bless their families and all those who have helped them get here this far. And help them know the journey has just begun. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.